When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." One of my childhood memories is each weekend or thereabouts going with my mother to the nearby cemetery and laying flowers at her parents' grave. Neither of my parents could drive, so we did not have a car. Rather, we rode our bicycles the few miles from our house to the cemetery. When we came to the main gates of the cemetery, we would stop and buy flowers from a man who had them arrayed in buckets by the side of the road. Either a relative or someone still does that. That cemetery is still there, and whenever I visit my hometown and I end up going there, I will always see these people who sell flowers at the cemetery gates. And then as my mother tidied up the grave, I would take the dead flowers and the vase. You know, we have vases. You have vases. We go to Moscow, you go to Moscow. We look at a map of Iraq and you look at a place called Iraq. You have tomatoes, you have tomatoes, we have tomatoes, and let's just call the whole thing off. So I would go down this little pathway, and there was a large metal basket frame where people could throw their dead flowers, and there was a water pump at the side, and I would wash out the vase and take it back to my mother, and she would then put in the new flowers and arrange them, and then we would go home. The cemetery where my mother's parents are laid, and some of her extended family elsewhere in that cemetery, and where eventually my parents' remains would find their final resting place, is over 100 years old. And although I did not pay much attention at the time, on these visits to the cemetery, my mother would tell me something of our family history, stories of events that her parents or ancestors had been involved in. I was young then, and I resented it all. I didn't pay attention. I resented the time that I had to take to bicycle there. I would have much preferred to stay at home reading books in my bedroom or being out on the playing fields playing cricket with my friends. Now, in the autumn of my years, when I have questions to ask of my family history and my parents are no longer here to answer, I really wish I had paid more attention. Once I'd learnt to drive and we had a family car, my mother and I would go further afield. We'd go and visit my father's mother's grave in another town. And each weekend, more likely as not, would see my mother and me driving the byways of the East Riding of Yorkshire and visiting the ancient churches thereabouts, reading the gravestones, which in many instances were centuries old. I look back on those wanderings with great fondness. I think it is from these forays that my love of old churches was born, and in some way led me back to the church years later. Cemeteries and memorial gardens are important places. They're important places in our lives. They help us heal the fracture of life from death when a loved one dies. Somehow these places of death create a link for us between this world and the world beyond. We feel this especially, I think, on occasions such as the Feast of All Saints. We also feel it at other times. We feel it at Christmas. We have the list of names of remembrances for Christmas flowers. We feel it at any important date or time in our family lives, our family history. But you can tell it's important on the Feast of All Saints from the people who fill out the names that are going to be read out during the service. I can imagine if I didn't put the list out there, someone would remind me. In the same way as I know people read the names in the bulletin, because if it's not there, we sure as heck get a call. It's important. It's important to us. The Feast of All Saints is a time when those who are living remember their loved ones who have died. And Christians have been doing this for as far back as we can remember. The origins, to be honest, of the Feast of All Saints are shrouded in the mist of time. We know that round about the 6th century, churches were celebrating the Feast of All Saints, but we don't really know when it all began. It has its roots, or some of its roots, in ancient Celtic Christianity, when the ancient peoples from Scotland and Wales and Ireland lived on the edges of what was then the known world. They were a people who had and still possess a strong sense of living between worlds, the material world we live in and another spiritual world. To the ancient Celts, the natural landscapes we occupy were both a concrete reality and at the same time a doorway into this other spiritual world where we go when we die. At the turning of the seasons, of autumn into winter, of summer into autumn, the Celts celebrated a sacred festival called Samhain, which marked for them the turning point of the year. It was a supreme moment in time, when the thin veil between this world and the other world became very liminal, permeable, transparent, when ordinary time and space was overrun by the souls of those who had gone before. The ancient Christians often marked these sacred doorways by stone circles or standing stones or crosses. In the East Riding of Yorkshire and the northern edge of the hills, there is the Rugstone Cross, one of the oldest crosses in Britain that goes back almost 2,000 years. Still standing, still marking that place they thought was transparent between this world and the next. These stone circles or standing stones reminded them that in Christ Jesus all things hold together. The Rudstone Cross is covered on all sides by carvings of scenes from the Gospel. So these ancients thought that in Christ all things held together. All of creation, including birth, life, and death, reflected in the mind of God. One of the readings for the Feast of All Saints is that most favorite of all passages from the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, it's more a fireside chat than a sermon. I've always been fascinated. If it was a Sermon on the Mount, he must have had a damn good sound system. But actually, if you read the text, it's more a fireside chat. For Jesus had seen the crowds and then gone up a mountain to get away from them. And there, his disciples joined him. And if you read back into the Gospels, there's probably only about four of them, because they hadn't all arrived then. So Jesus had this quiet fireside chat with a small gathering of his disciples. And it reads like that. It reads like that. A quiet conversation in solitude away from the crowds. And there Jesus told his disciples what it means to be reflected in the mind of God. It means to be blessed by God. That's the origin of the word beatitude. It's a blessing, an announcement of God's favor both in the present and in the future as well as in the past. Reminding us that even in the depths of despair, God in Christ's compassion is present and assured. So the Feast of All Saints has always been an occasion not only to look back, but to look forward in faith to a time and place where God will order all things, and all things will be in order. The crowds that gathered round Jesus came from their own disordered worlds. They came for forgiveness, for themselves as well as others. They came to Jesus for healing, not just from their infirmities, but from their imperfections and disappointments. They knew that God was not to be found in some idyllic paradise, but in the disordered world in which they lived. This is why Jesus' blessings brought comfort and healing to so many. Life, in all its complexity and beauty, is a divine story, where, although not always apparent, God in Christ is a constant presence. You're all aware of my love of the writer John Donne. I need him at my funeral. I really want to meet him when this time comes. And I have a fairly vague hope that we'll be able to understand each other, because, you know, I won't have to learn Latin. Well, I probably will, because he did a lot in Latin. But anyway, he lived in the time of William Shakespeare, a time when they had this extraordinary ability to express the story of human life in words. Here's what he wrote in one of his sermons. All humankind is of one author and is one volume. When a person dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. What a lovely thought, that down the ages, those who have gone before us, regardless of their estate, the chapter which was their life has not been torn out, but translated into a better language. Surely this is what it means to be blessed. As I advance in years and enter that waiting room of life and death, I have come to love the Feast of All Saints. Not the trick-or-treat part, I have to admit. I go into hiding when it comes trick-or-treat. That was never a part of my childhood. Although, as I shared with the young folks, the origins of it may well lie in Samhain, when it was believed the souls of the departed revisited their old haunts in disguise. But on the Feast of All Saints, I find my mind wandering back to my childhood, trying to imagine the lives of my ancestors and of my visits to those ancient churches, imagining the humanity lying there, knowing that someday, where they are, I will one day be. Surely this is what the ancients felt in the Celtic Feast of Samhain, when the veil between this world and the next seemed so transparent. In the epistle for this day, the Apostle John reminds us that what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, he writes, when Christ is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. When All Saints comes around, or when we visit the final resting place of a loved one, it is a foreshadowing of what awaits us, that translation into a better language. As Dunn continues, and into that gate we shall enter, and in that house we shall dwell, where there shall be no cloud nor sun, nor darkness nor dazzling, but one equal light, no noise nor silence, but one equal music, no fears nor hopes, but one equal possession, no foes nor friends, but one equal communion and identity, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity. On this Feast of All Saints, as we name and remember our loved ones who have gone before, may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace and rise in glory. Amen.